Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, here we go. Happy Tuesday. Headlines, 5 o'clock right here on Softy and Dick, brought to you by, wait for it, VenueKings.com.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Well, we got lots of news around the Pac-12. The schedule came out today. Huskies already knew they were opening up September 4th against Montana, going to the Big House on September 11th, but the Pac-12 opener will be at Husky Stadium against Cal September 25th. Their bye is in October on the 9th. They'll play a Friday night game at Arizona on October 22nd, host the Ducks on November 6th. And no surprise here, the Apple Cup going to be Friday after Thanksgiving in Seattle, November 26th. The Pac-12 championship, by the way, December 3rd in Las Vegas.
The Baylor Bears have won their first conference basketball championship in 71 years.
Wow.
They just beat 6th-ranked West Virginia to take home the Big 12 championship in overtime, 94-89. And going on right now, a big one. Number 4, Illinois, leading 2nd-ranked Michigan in Ann Arbor, 33-22 at halftime.
You know, 71 is 30 longer than 41.
41 yards!
I thought I'd mention that. The Mariners today down there in the Cactus League.
Yay!
Losing 6-1 to the Indians. Yusei Kikuchi, 2 innings, 1 run, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts in the loss.
In the loss.
In the loss.
Yay!
The Zags dominated the West Coast Conference Awards. Mark Few, Coach of the Year for the 14th time. Corey Kispert, Player of the Year. Jalen Suggs, Newcomer of the Year. Andrew Nembhard, Sixth Man of the Year. And Kispert, Suggs, Ayayi, Timmy earned First Team All-Conference honors.
One more note from the NCAA. Greg Byrne, Alabama AD, saying the Crimson Tide not just planning on having full classrooms in the fall, but also full football stadiums in the fall as well.
This hour sponsored by West Coast Men's Health. Perform the way you used to. Call them right now. Here's the number, 206-312-7008. And you can check them out online at westcoastmenshealth.com.
Tell us more about those side effects of Viagra.
Ooh, nasty, nasty.
I can see Jackson's face right now.
Let's not.
Oh, God. I think you should do a whole podcast on that, man. I mean, you do have the name for it.
I do.
But you should do it under your alter ego, Dick Sane.
Dick Sane.
Dick Sane here for West Coast Men's Health. Let me tell you, if your carrots become a little bit limp, don't worry about Viagra. Call my friends at West Coast Men's Health. I should get to do those commercials as Dick Sane. You do them as Dick Fane, I'll do them as Dick Sane. How about we do them together? Dick Fane here, and I'm Dick Sane. We'll do them together. I'll be your alter ego. You be yourself. I'll be your alter ego. We'll double the profits. We'll make some money. We'll pop some pills for people out there, and we'll get them on the right path at West Coast Men's Health. Why not?
Jackson can be Dixon, Dick Insane.
Jesus Christ, Jackson.
He doesn't want to be Dick Pain, for sure.
No, he doesn't. No, and nobody wants that kind of pain either, by the way, because that is some awful, awful pain.
You don't get pain with West Coast Men's Health.
All right, what happened here? Get this show back on track. So anyway, have you guys been following, before Jimmy Lake joins us on the radio show?
They try to make it basketball on grass.
That segment talks about the schedule that came out today. Have you been following the Zlatan-LeBron spat going on out there? Zlatan plays for who now, Jackson? Who'd you say?
AC Milan.
Jesus Christ, Jackson.
And he's basically told LeBron James that he should just stick to sports. He basically came out and said that he believes that it's more divisive than not when athletes talk politics. He says, I don't like it when people, when they have some kind of status, they do politics at the same time as what they're doing, says Zlatan. So he kind of, I guess he feels like he should pick one or the other, but he says it's divisive when they talk politics. And this is also a guy in Zlatan who has said his favorite athlete is Muhammad Ali for what he did in the ring and outside the ring. But LeBron James should shut up and stick to basketball. So what do we make of all this? Because this has kind of become a topic, or, you know, across the country.
It certainly is. And I like LeBron's response because he said, I will never shut up about things that are wrong. And I think that's where you delineate between politics and things that are just clearly wrong, like racism, like social injustice. There are a lot of things in politics that have two sides. I don't think there's two sides to the racism issue on whether it's wrong or not. And I think that's where LeBron draws his line. I don't see LeBron jumping into economic politics talk. You know, this is something that he has led throughout all of the athletes, or many of the athletes through all the different leagues.
Yeah.
And without LeBron's support, I think that would be pretty lacking. You need to have the leaders of your game to get the rest of the NBA, to get the WNBA board.
Let me play devil's advocate here for a second, just to have the conversation. If he is all about speaking out about what he believes things that are wrong, why isn't he condemning China? Why doesn't he talk about the human rights abuse in China?
I think that was a mistake by a lot of entities in the NBA, including LeBron, when it happened. And I think they tried to distance themselves from that. And in some people's minds they have, and in other people's minds they will always look at that. Some people will dislike LeBron forever. For that,
yeah,
and that's their own choice,
because they think it's a hypocrite, right? Because he won't call out China because the China affects the NBA's bottom line, yet he'll talk about all these other issues that doesn't affect his bottom line or could even maybe potentially increase his bottom line. So I'll just say this: that I think that what's political and what's not political, you could take a topic, whatever it is,
and
you could go down the road and talk to 100 people. And you would get 100 different responses to what's political and what's not political. You have your take. Jackson has his take. I have my take. Everybody in the audience has their take. But to not at least admit that different people say different things about what's political and what's not political, I think we all understand that by now. That just because I don't think it should be considered political or you don't doesn't mean that others agree with that. That's number one. Number two, I also think that, if what you're saying is right, and I haven't heard LeBron say that, but I'm just assuming you're correct about...
what I read was a quote.
Perfect. Then he is being a hypocrite. But that's okay, right? Because all of us, in some ways, are going to be hypocritical at some point in our life. About something. Nobody's perfect. I've been a hypocrite before.
Yes.
You've been a hypocrite. Jackson's been a hypocrite. Everybody I know at one point in time in their lives has come across as hypocritical. So, okay, let's say that LeBron James is hypocritical because of his lack of a stance or condemnation on China, but does the good by LeBron far outweigh the bad? And I think the answer is resoundingly yes.
For me, it is.
For LeBron James, personally. Now, others may disagree with that, and that's totally cool. What I want to get to is a point in time where you can say you disagree, I can say I disagree, and then we can say, the hell with it, let's go have a beer.
Yeah.
And we're done, and we can move on. But we can't do that. It's like this unpaid internship thing that became gigantic yesterday on Twitter. I actually reached out to somebody this morning, and we had a conversation about it, and it was great. Had no problems. I mean, this idea that we can judge each other on 140 characters is as dumb as the day is long. What are we doing as a society where we start judging each other based on 140 characters that we see on social media? What is wrong with us? When did we stop reaching out to each other to actually converse and talk and understand more of what the other person's thinking based on judging them on a window that goes by like a freaking carousel?
Well, because 10 years ago, we wouldn't even have known these other people that are commenting on what you're saying. I mean, we would have no reason to, but now because of social media, we do. And you're exactly right. I mean, there are some great things about Twitter, but probably the most terrible thing about Twitter is there's no context. It's literally, here's my statement. You're gonna jump on it because you disagree with it. You're going to say something probably that you wouldn't say to my face.
Yeah.
And that's going to piss me off. And then, boom, it starts. Here goes the back and forth. When if you actually are face-to-face with somebody having a conversation at a bar or whatever over a beer, it's not going to start with that animosity. It may eventually get there after a long discussion, but it's not going to start with the fire like Twitter does.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think for as crazy as Zlatan is at times with the stuff that comes out of his mouth, I think he's also correct in saying that political talk is going to be more divisive than not. When you bring up topics like that, you are more apt to get people worked up than not if you're just sticking to basketball. He's correct about that. Those that say that LeBron's being hypocritical towards China are also correct about that. Those that say that LeBron, yes, he might be a hypocrite in certain categories, but he also has done more good, way more good than bad, you are also right about that. It's like we tend to just pick sides. It's one or the other. Either you're in or you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it be a gray area? Why can't it be a little bit of everything? Why can't this be right and that be right and that be kind of right and that be kind of wrong? Why does everything have to be lumped into one bucket or the other when it comes to things like this? We're going to break. Jimmy Lake will join the radio show next on Softy.
You get your podcasts.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your new home for the Huskies. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All righty, here we go. 5:20 on a Tuesday night right here on 950 KJR. And we were up early this morning watching Twitter, staring at Twitter like you're watching a slot machine at 3 o'clock in the morning in Las Vegas, hoping to hit on five cherries, waiting
glazed
for that.
Eyes.
Oh, God, it's like, come on, get the freaking thing out of here. I wonder if Jimmy Lake was privy to the schedule coming out early, or if he had to find out, like all of us did, who he was playing in 2021. You can be honest with us now. Did you know before the announcement your schedule, or did you find out like we did this morning?
Hey, what's up, Softy? How you doing? First of all, I say, yeah, I miss you, man.
I'm fine. On? Thank you. Yes, yes.
You know,
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, I may have had a glimpse a few hours before it came out, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what jumped out at you, Coach? Either good, bad, indifferent?
No, I'm very happy with the schedule. Hey, first of all, I'm happy that we have a 12-game slate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so funny how things, what we've been through these last 10, 11 months now, I'm just excited that we're talking about having a 12-game slate, non-conference, a regular conference schedule, Pac-12 championship game in Las Vegas. I mean, how cool is that going to be that the site got moved to Las Vegas in that brand-new, gorgeous stadium down there that they built for the Raiders? I'm just excited that we have 12 games late, and I know our fans are, and our players are definitely pumped up.
You don't strike me as the kind of guy that would really get that worked up about the schedule one way or the other, because there's not a damn thing you can do about it, right? I mean, it's not like Jimmy Lake is going to say, you know what, I don't like this, let's change that. And the Pac-12 says, okay, you're right, let's change that. But as I look at a couple things, I see one back-to-back roadie the entire year. You guys leave town once in the first 5 weeks of the regular season. The bye, though, is a little bit early on the 9th of October. From just a pure coach's perspective, if it was up to you and you had control over something like this, are you the kind of guy that would say, you know what, I'd love to have that bye right in the middle of the season, later in the season, earlier in the season, from a football perspective, from a health and safety perspective, getting the team a rest perspective? Where is typically the best place for that week off?
Yeah, I mean, I think right where it is at, any earlier than that would probably not be too advantageous for us, because then we'd have to go for a long stretch of 8, 9, 10 games before the end of the season. I think right where it's at is actually really good. And then somewhere always maybe like in the middle of your season would probably be the perfect scenario, just to split the season up 6 games and 6 games. But again, I think if you look across the board, that I think the Pac-12 did a really good job of setting up the schedule the way it lays out. It doesn't, favor anybody. It doesn't hurt anybody. Everybody's got a little bit of adversity to work through. It sets up really nice. I think you had mentioned it. We're at home for the first few games there to really, get our feet underneath us. Obviously, a huge road game at Michigan, which I know everybody's fired up about, and so are we. And so I love it. I am just happy that we have 12 games. Yeah. There's going to be fans in the stands. You see where this thing's going. The viruses get better. All the infections are going down. The world is getting back to normal, and I can't wait to see the dog fans screaming here in Husky Stadium.
From a competitive balance standpoint, how big a deal are Friday games? How big a deal is a back-to-back road situation? Is too much made of those, or are those big deals?
No, I think I wouldn't say they're big deals. There's definitely something to those. I think the way our schedule plays out, we have the bye week. We play UCLA coming off a bye week, you know, so we'll have 2 weeks to prepare for UCLA, you know, just like someone's going to have 2 weeks, just like Stanford's going to have 2 weeks to prepare for us. But then we go on a short week down in Tucson on a Friday night. It's going to be a tough. It's, you know, that their fans are loud down there. It can be a tough place to play. I think the last time we did that, we went to overtime. Thankfully, we snuck out of there with a win. But then we play Stanford at home, but we actually get an extra day because we're playing on the Friday. And so, you know, late night, Friday night, coming back from Tucson, but actually another extra day to get prepared for Stanford. And so, you know, there's like positives, negatives, there's all these things. All we can do is prepare a team, which we're doing right now in the weight room, on the grass, get ready for spring football here coming up. And again, we're just going to attack every single one of these games as their own little, you know, their own little nugget and try to win every single one of them.
How much do you try and recreate game week for each individual opponent over the offseason?
No, not for our players at this point of the season, we will not do that. What we will do is schematic stuff that we know that we'll use in the first couple of games. Mm-hmm. We for sure will install that, you know, spring football into training camp. But we really, you can't peek too soon there, Softy. We can't, like, just right now start throwing the game plan in there for somebody that's, you know, months and months away. It has to be a proper measurement of how we attack those guys. And so when we really get into the specifics of a game plan, that's a lot closer to game day.
Take us through what a typical day looks like for one of your players at this time of the year.
Yeah, so right now, they're lifting every single day, Monday through Friday, and then 2 days out of the week, we're allowed to do some on-field work with these guys. We can't use a football. We can't line up across from each other. These are NCAA rules. This is everybody, not just us at Washington. And so, you know, so today we're out in the indoor and had schemes going on offense, defense, and special teams, and we did it on air and went through our checks. A lot of our, you know, bread and butter calls that we call on all three phases. And then after that, Coach Saw and his crew takes over, and we put them through some sort of grinder to really get the heart beating and get the sweat flowing and make it really tough on them and make sure they're detailed in what they're doing. So this is a time right now when championships are won or lost are right now. January, February, March, April, before spring ball even starts. I mean, these guys are grinding, they're lifting, they're running, they're training, and they're learning football. Yeah. What we do now will determine whether we bring that championship trophy home in December.
You know, it's funny about that somebody would hear that, Jimmy, and say, that just sounds like a cliche. That's just coach speak. That's all that is right there. But you actually believe that. Tell people that believe in their gut that that's just a big old fat cliche why they're wrong.
I would think a true football fan would know that what we do right now, if we don't train right now, we're going to get pushed around and not be able to run the football and not be able to stop the run any single game we play, all 12 games. What we do right now, the weight we put on, the strength we put on, the speed we put on, the agility, the mental side of our fundamentals and our technique, how we tackle. We even work on tackling right now, even when you can't touch anybody, the leverage, our body position. We're doing all that right now in this first 3 months of 2021. If we do not do that, it would be a long season for the Dogs. And our guys right now are attacking these first 3 months like they're trying to bring that championship trophy home.
Jimmy, do you have any idea what the protocols safety-wise are going to be in spring for your true practices in comparison to what they were in fall?
So, you know, we've been through a pandemic now. So now we know how to practice during a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, I'm sure it's going to the protocols are going to be exactly what they were in the fall. Now, if we eventually this thing start, you know, we start getting the vaccine and all those sorts of things, I can see some of those policies easing up a little bit. But we can practice. We can go out there and practice appropriately and hit each other, tackle each other, all those things. The testing, we know all that works, and so we're prepared to have a full slate, 15 practices and a game, and it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, again, Jimmy Lake is with us on the air, by the way, if you didn't recognize the voice, talking about the schedule. Dog's schedule came out today that, you know, it's one of those weird years where there's only one new coach, I think, in the Pac-12, and that's Jed Fish at Arizona. I think everybody else is back from last year. I mean, Carl Durrell didn't get to coach a lot because of the pandemic, obviously, and, you know, Rolovich obviously was new and didn't get a lot of games, and you were new, but Jed Fish at Arizona, do you know him at all? Do you know much about his system down there?
I do. And so our fans will remember when we played UCLA up here, Josh Rosen was the quarterback and we knocked him out of the game and we won the game. He was the offensive coordinator for that team.
Yep.
And so there's a little bit of, at least for the Dog fans, of understanding what type of offense that we'll see out of the University of Arizona. Now, of course, everybody grows from year to year and, you know, there's going to be certain different things. But he's definitely going to bring a pro style NFL style offense down to Tucson. I do know Jed. He's with the Rams. He's been with the Patriots. He's been with some other NFL clubs as well. And so we'll see that type of offense coming out of Tucson.
Tell us about your in-person recruiting. I mean, you've got high school football games going on right now for the first time in our lives. How much can you watch in person, either in this state or the other states? I think a third of the country right now is playing high school football.
Yeah, no coach can watch. It's a complete dead period until the end of May.
Okay.
No coach can step foot off campus. We can't watch any football in person. Now, just before I jumped on with you guys, I was just with our director of recruiting, Justin Glenn, and his assistant, Brian Watkins, and we just watched all the high school film from the state of Washington this last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday games.
Hmm.
And so we just got out of the film room there. So we're pouring through all the film. The state of California is also starting high school football here coming up, and we're going to start watching all those films here coming up with all the prospects that have been itching to go play and all the teams that have itching to go play this whole off season. So there's going to be a lot of tape to watch.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we cannot go there, and they cannot visit us as well. And that's across the whole country right now.
Should you be able to? Should they be able to?
No.
If you were in charge of the world, would you be out watching games in person? I mean, there's obviously a reason why this is it. But this is the NCAA saying this, not like local health authorities doing this.
Correct. I mean, I think there's a lot of things at play here. Obviously, with a pandemic going on, especially early on when no one knew what was going on, I think it was very, very smart. I mean, to have thousands of families traveling to our school and then bouncing to another school into another school, I mean, that's just a recipe for, you know, dragging the disease on and furthering the pandemic. I think as things ease up here and things are getting better, yeah, that'd be great.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Great to open things up, especially for us to go see a game in a stadium and go sit in the corner with a mask on and watch the game. And for these teams, especially here locally, where there's a lot of great players, and they can see that, hey, the colleges are watching us. I think that'd be great for those guys. But I'm hoping all the Washington athletes and everybody knows that we're watching. We're watching the film. So go out there and try to win for your team.
How much are West Coast hurt recruits being hurt by the tighter COVID restrictions that most of the rest of the country did not have?
Well, it's nationwide. No high school recruit can go to a college across the whole country. So that's even across the whole country. and no other college in the South or, you know, in the Midwest or anything, they can't step foot off campus and go to a high school either. So that's even across the whole board.
Right. I'm talking about the COVID restrictions and what they can do, what they've been able to do as athletes.
Yeah, I think there's definitely probably an imbalance there for sure. I think as we approach the spring football and as we approach the fall, I know there's a lot of schools in the South and the Midwest that are planning on having full capacity stadiums, and I think that is going to be an advantage for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were behind here, obviously, in terms of having people in the stands with our, you know, restrictions on this West Coast over here, and I think we need to we better catch up and make sure we're getting fans in the stands. I know I run into a lot of dog fans, and they want to be here, and they'll sign anything, and they'll come in here and watch the game. And we need to get to that point, or we will hurt ourselves in recruiting. Because I know this last fall, there was a quarter of the stadiums filled down the SEC. In the NFL, there was in the Super Bowl, in the NFL, in certain NFL cities, there was people in the stands. It can be done. And as I look out on Husky Stadium, 72,000 seats right here, we can fit half this stadium for sure, social distances, at least at a minimum. And we better get that figured out, or that's going to hurt us in recruiting for sure.
It sounds like you've kind of taken on, I mean, some coaches would back off and maybe let their ADs handle that, presidents handle that, whatever. But are you personally involved, Jimmy, in lobbying the people that need to be lobbied to get that to happen?
No, I am not. And I am aligned with our administration and what we needed to do last fall. I think everything that we did was the way it should have been done. There was a lot of uncertainty. No one knew what was going on. And there's a lot of people that have passed away, even people that have been a part of our program that we know that, or family members that we know that died of COVID-19. So this was a serious deal. Now that we're getting a handle on this thing, we definitely need to move forward here now. And we can do it safely. We can have people in the stands to watch games, definitely have the families of our players, the families of our staffs in there, plus fans. We can do it safely. Other people have done it. We can follow the model, and that's where I feel we will get to that point.
You guys tweeted out today that Elijah Molden, Levi, Joe Tryon got their draft combine invites. How much time do you spend talking with NFL coaches about your guys? And do you give the Hawks a little more time than others, you know, FaceTime over the years because they're right here?
Yeah. Yeah, no, we spend a lot of time on the phone with general managers, director of player personnel, area scouts, with a lot of our guys, and have done it over the years, and they're just doing their due diligence, just like when we call a high school coach, you know, asking about a prospect, or hey, what about this, and we have all these lists of questions, and I root for the hometown Seattle Seahawks, but guess what, they only get usually one pick in every single round, and I do have to make sure I give the proper information to any NFL club that's asking about our guys. So but don't worry, on game day, I'm rooting for the Hawks.
Yeah, yeah. This year they'll have almost no picks in every single round, so you gotta just disregard that.
All right, but I don't know all that. You follow that more closely than me.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, wait. You didn't hear they gave up 75 draft picks to get Jamal Adams, and they're not drafting until 2040. God, I thought you knew that. Jeez.
Don't get me caught up in this. I'm rooting for the Hawks. I want them to win.
What about spring ball? What's the plan for spring ball? I think you said today, April 7th. Is the start, the spring game on May the 1st. And
yes,
what's the spring game to me should be a spring game. Purple versus gold, four quarters, you know, maybe the quarterbacks are wearing red jerseys, but we're playing football. We're putting people on the stands. Are you tracking with me on that, or do I have to come down there and do it myself?
Softy, you knew I was going to do this last year until this thing hit planet Earth that we didn't even know was going on. It's going to be a game. It's going to be a huge game. We're trying to get this place full of people, 72,000. If you remember from last year, we're trying to fill up the whole stadium.
I know.
Yes, it is going to be a game. It'll be a very similar format to what you guys weren't, you know, able to watch last fall when we did all of our preseason games leading up to our first game. And I remember, you know, we would give you guys the scores and, you know, do all those things. But it was a game. It was a real game. I mean, we went into halftime, the whole deal. May 1st, it'll be a real spring football game, purple versus gold, live tackling, big plays made, and you know, you get to watch these young dogs grow up. We had a lot of freshmen that made some waves, you know, last fall. We got a lot of starters returning, and we have some transfers coming in. It's going to be an exciting game to see where we're at.
Let's talk about those transfers. I mean, you've gotten some. How busy do you think the portal's going to be in or out over the next few months?
Yeah, that's going to be, I think it's, you know, hopefully it's done here. That's what I'm hoping at the University of Washington. But yeah, the portal is definitely a new phenomenon. It's not going away.
Yeah.
Usually after spring footballs across the whole country, there's usually a little movement even before the portal. You know, guys wanting to transfer out, all those things, and transferring down to lower levels. That's what used to happen. You know, they'd be at an FBS and then they transfer down to an FCS. School, but yeah, there definitely could be some changes across the country. We're excited with our guys that are here. You know, yeah. We had some guys, Patrick O'Brien, the quarterback, that originally signed in Nebraska and then to Colorado State. Now he's here. You know, he's been working with the guys and I know he's excited to go out there and compete. And then here coming up, in spring quarter, we have two guys, one from Texas Tech, and Jalen Polk, wide receiver, mm-hmm. who we're very excited about. And then also Jeremiah Wright from Texas A&M, defensive end. So we're excited about those guys. They're joining us here, and they're ready for a fresh start and ready to compete.
So it's safe to say, as of right now, you don't expect any more transfers out of the program. Is that fair? I mean, obviously you never say never, but would you be, I guess, surprised if we had more?
At this point right now, Softy, the way this thing's going, we're always just, this is a moving target. This is a new phenomenon. It's a new phenomenon. It's and like I mentioned to you last time I talked, I said, you know what? It's a little bit sad when some guys transfer different reasons. And I think the guys that are transferring here are different reasons. And it's a positive thing. But there's some guys, roadblocks get put up in front of them. And instead of going, you know what? I'm going to fight through this. You know, they want to go the other way and take the easy route. And, you know, hopefully what looks like the easy route, but it's actually the more difficult route. And hopefully, you know, there's guys around the country that just work through the hard things, work through any problem, any adversity that they're having to try to reach their dreams and goals they set at the university they signed with.
Coach, I'm going to end where we started, back with the schedule. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but Oregon is not coming off a bye before they face you.
What?
Your thoughts on that development?
On that development? That breaking news? Yeah. No, I mean, we're excited to have those guys up here. Of course, we were very disappointed we weren't able to play those guys last year. It's a healthy rivalry, and we will be excited to welcome them here to a full Husky Stadium on November 6th.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. You know, knock on wood, hope we get all 12 of these games in because I think you're right. You know, there's reason to be optimistic. But I will end on where we started the season over the offseason, which is with the quarterback controversy, which you didn't give us bupkis on the quarterback race before the season started. And all of us had to guess. Okay.
That helped us win. That helped us start 1-0, by the way.
I know.
So if you're a true dog fan, you'd be happy that we started 1-0. All right, go ahead. What are you going to say here? You always talk about the quarterbacks. Go ahead. I thought you were a defensive guy. All right, go ahead. What's up?
Jimmy, I'm a winning guy is what I am. I don't care how you do it or whatever. You can win the games 2-0 for all I care every single week. But, I mean, Dylan Morris, is it safe to assume that as of right now he's your number one guy heading into spring ball?
Yeah, that is definitely safe to assume. And like I always answer this with every single position, doesn't matter who it is, when Elijah Molden's coming back and he's all conference and all these things from last year, everyone needs to come in with the mentality that they need to be the best guy at their position to make sure that they are the starter when the season begins.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you've done before. And so that's across the whole roster. Anytime you sit back and go, you know what, oh, I got this thing. I'm the starter at the University of Washington at tight end, at D tackle, at quarterback. As soon as you have that type of mentality, you're going to get passed up.
Yeah.
And so that's throughout our whole roster, and everybody knows that. I'm an equal opportunity employer. Whoever comes in here, learns our playbook, is making plays in practice at every position, has a chance to be the starter.
All right. I just bring that up because your predecessor had no problem starting a true freshman at quarterback when he showed up about 5 years ago. So we'll see what happens in the spring, and we'll see what happens in the fall. Is Sam going to be here for spring ball? Is that right, Sam Heward? Is he here for the spring?
That is correct, and we have some other enrollees in spring as well. Caden Jumper,
yep.
Tight end, Caleb Berry, running back, and also Voy, our D tackle from Salt Lake City, is going to be here as well. So
love it.
It's going to be exciting spring. It's going to be exciting spring, and that's why I'm hoping these gates will be open. The fans can come in here and see all the new dogs and see all of our all conference returning dogs, and there's going to be a fun spring for our fans to watch. I'm hoping they get the opportunity.
Well, you know what? If we can't come in there legally, we'll just bust the thing down and show up on our own, because we're coming in. Whether you like it or not, we're coming in, man. We're ready.
Come in. I will leave the gate unlocked.
There you go.
Whatever happens after that, that's on you guys.
Leave a key like the janitor and Rudy, and we'll just grab it at night. All right, Jimmy, great stuff, man. Appreciate this. Go Dogs, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Go Dogs.
Jimmy Lake with us on the radio show, 5:45 on a Tuesday night right here on Softy and
Near You.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for March Madness and the Final Four, Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
And again, I am just happy that we have 12 games. There's going to be fans in the stands. You see where this thing's going. The viruses get better. All the infections are going down. The world is getting back to normal, and I can't wait to see the dog band screaming here in Husky Stadium.
He sounds a lot more relaxed on the air with us than the last couple times we've talked to him, and I wonder if you noticed that as well. And I just think he's a guy that kind of sees some light at the end of the tunnel. I think he knows how difficult things were to take over this gig and have to deal with a pandemic and have to get shut down and not have fans and not be able to go recruit and go into people's homes. I mean, one of the great things about Jimmy Lake that he can sell is his personality, and he hasn't been able to do that, right? Because it's hard to do it over Zoom versus in person. So he sounds to me like a guy, he almost sounds like a kid that knows that it's the middle of June and that it's almost summer vacation. School's almost out, and that things are about to get exponentially, not easier, but a hell of a lot more fun. Do you sense that, too, with him?
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't when we were on with him, but now that you mention it, I think you're right. He sounds like a guy who there's a big weight lifted off his shoulders, and I think we know. Yeah. He knows that we're not there yet, but he knows we're close and we're going to get there.
Well, it's a guy that's trying to establish his identity and a culture, right, as a head coach. And really, the guy finally gets a job, and this is what happens. I mean, obviously, you know, there's other coaches out there, but Rolovich has been a head coach before. Carl Durrell has been a head coach before. Jimmy Lake is a first-time young 40s head coach who finally gets an opportunity, and he's got to deal with all this other nonsense on top of that. So he just sounds like he's ready. I mean, you know, I hate to use the caged animal mentality, but I just imagine this pack of dogs that just finally gets a chance to run. And they'll be doing that hopefully in the fall. So I'm just as fired up as anybody. And I will tell you this right now. I don't know how else to describe this. But when we get back to Husky Stadium for the first time, and there's even 40,000 people in the stands for that Montana game, I am going to cry like a freaking baby when I walk into that stadium. And I did the same thing when we left the Clink and went back to the stadium after it got redone for the Boise game, right? The Boise game was the opener against Peterson, I think, was the first game back at the renovated Husky Stadium. I just wanted to run and hug everybody I could find. Maybe post-pandemic that won't be literally encouraged by a lot of people to do things like that. I expect to see a lot of people even after this still wearing a mask out in public, Absolutely. And that's totally fine. But getting back in there, and it's going to happen one day. It's going to happen for the Sounders, it's going to happen for the Seahawks, it's going to happen for the Dogs, it's going to happen for a Kraken. Just take a second and imagine what that's going to feel like to finally walk back into 70,000 people at Husky Stadium.
Well, what's going to be frustrating at first is seeing every other stadium having 70,000 fans and ours not.
Yeah, right.
That's what's going to be frustrating at first. But, I do think we are going to have fans in the stadium at the beginning of the year. Whether we get to 70,000, that might be pushing it because we have been very, very slow to move in that direction around here.
Let's get a break. Headlines coming up. John Wilner joining us at 6:20 right here on 950 K.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, here we go, 6:03 Tuesday night. Headlines on Softy and Dick are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
I did the job. Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did.
College basketball. How about this? Michigan climbs up to number 2 and promptly is getting destroyed by Illinois. 73-51 late second half in that game. Number 8 Alabama over Auburn, 70-58 is a final. Number 15 Texas takes on Iowa State, 77-65. 18th ranked Texas Tech Red Raiders, 69. TCU, 49. And Baylor in overtime against West Virginia. The Bears survive. Number 3 Baylor, 94. Number 6 West Virginia, 89. Number 12 Arkansas also beating the Gamecocks of South Carolina, 101-73.
The attorney for a family of a 5-year-old girl who suffered a brain injury as a result of the car crash involving Chiefs assistant Britt Reed says the girl cannot speak or walk, and they will look to prosecute Reed with the most serious sentence he could ever receive. Reed admitted to having a mix of alcohol and prescription Adderall in his system at the time of the crash.
That's pretty much a horrible story, Dick.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, hard to transition after that one, but we'll try. Cactus League today in Peoria. Indians knock off the Mariners 6-1. You say who say what? Kikuchi. One run, one walk, 3 Ks, and 2 innings of work today for the M's.
Russell Wilson's sister Anna named Pac-12 Co-Defensive Player of the Year after leading the conference in steals for Stanford.
Okay, that's a good story.
I had to clean it up after the last one.
That's good. And this is Andy Reid's son we're talking about, right?
Yes,
Britt?
Yes.
So is the girl related to the Reid family? I thought I heard it was his granddaughter, but maybe I was hearing wrong on that. I'd love to know who the gal was, because I mean, if it is related to the Reid family, I can't imagine. I mean, the story is horrible to begin with, but if it's actually, if this guy did something to a kid that is a member of the family.
I don't think a family attorney would say that they want to prosecute Britt Reed to the fullest extent of the law.
Well, who knows? Who knows? I mean, honestly, I got no idea. I mean, if this guy has had a history of doing stupid stuff before and they're tired of it, I have no idea. It says Ariel Young is the name of the gal. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's of a relationship of the Reed family.
So.
But, I mean, that had to play a role for Andy Reid on game day, right? Oh. In the Super Bowl. We talked to Harlan about this. I mean, here he is, and the guy is, you know, he's literally calling an offense like his offensive line is healthy, which it wasn't. He's getting inundated with pressure the entire game, and they do nothing about it. He looked to me, and maybe I'm just, you know, kind of read into it because I knew what happened the night before, but he looked to me like a play caller that was totally out of focus the entire game.
I thought it looked like a team that was totally out of focus.
Yeah.
I mean, I hadn't seen
that. And who can blame the guy, right?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, we'll never know. I mean, alternate universe, if this horrible thing hadn't happened, you know, we don't know what the Super Bowl would have looked like. But I can't imagine that it did not affect the coaching and the playing in any way. I just can't imagine that being the case. They're all human.
Yeah, I don't know who the gal is. It doesn't sound like she's related to the Reed family, you know, but nonetheless, I mean, just a horrible story. Absolutely horrible story. What an awful, you know, couple days or couple weeks for them to, you know, put all that work into the game, lose the game, and the night before have something like this happen. Now you're Andy Reed, and, you know, you lose the Super Bowl. But now your kid may be going to prison, for God's sakes, right? And he was on your staff. He's no longer on your staff.
Correct.
And now he may be in jail. I mean, I'm not a dad. You're a dad. I can't even remotely imagine what Andy Reid's dealing with right now with this stuff. It's insane. So anyway, just an awful story. We'll keep an eye on that. And, you know, look, I mean, the Russell Wilson thing is the story that just doesn't go away. Obviously, we'll be talking about this a lot over the offseason. There's going to be new angles that will pop up all the time. And, you know, you and I were, as we said yesterday and even before I went on vacation, not really of the frame of mind yet to be talking about, you know, trade scenarios. And I don't expect him to be traded between now and September. I don't think it's as far-fetched as it was maybe a month ago or 2 weeks ago. And I think the longer this drags on without Russell Wilson squashing this thing, the more the odds of him getting moved actually may go up. They're not going up exponentially, of course, but they might be creeping up a little bit. You know, if it was 70-30 or 80-20 yesterday, you know, maybe it's 75-25 today. Maybe it's 70-30 today. I have no idea. But, you know, there's a lot of talk out there about what team would make sense for Russell and what kind of deal would make sense for the Seahawks. So I think the idea of kicking some of this stuff around, I don't know, for me, I'm kind of getting to a point where I might be kind of up for it, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't mind kicking it around. I just think the economics of it all just make it almost impossible.
It's got to happen after June 22nd. Is that right? What's the date?
I thought it was earlier in June.
What's the date where the dead cap money comes
way down? I thought
it
was June 1st, actually.
Okay.
But
Whatever it is, there's a date out there where it can come down dramatically.
Yes. But right now, I mean, but here's the problem. If you do it early, it's $39 million. Mm-hmm. If you do it late, then you've already had the draft and free agency, so you don't have, I mean, you would have to.
Yeah.
Here's what the deal would be. It would have to be after that date, and it would have to be in return for a quarterback. And the only trades, I mean, PFF threw a bunch out there, and only two of them had quarterbacks in return. One was Dallas and Dak Prescott. The other was the Raiders and Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it would have to be something like a Derek Carr and draft picks, but you've already, you know, eliminated at that point your chance of getting a 2021 first-round draft pick. You'd be talking about Carr and like a 22 and 23 first-round draft pick.
Yeah. If he's dealt before June 1st, it's $39 million.
Yeah. Forget it.
After that number goes down. I'm not sure what it is off the top of my head, but it's $39 million if he's dealt before the 1st of June. So that changes, and it changes dramatically. I think it's in the low 20s if it's after June 1st.
It'd be the biggest dead cap charge in the NFL history.
So, again, that doesn't mean he's not getting traded this summer. It just means he's not getting traded before the 1st of June. 6:10 is the time. John Wilner is going to join us on the radio show. Do Husky fans have room to gripe about the schedule that came out today? If they do, why should they gripe about the schedule? Who got it soft? Who got it easy when it comes to the Pac-12 schedule that came out today? John Wilner, courtesy of Simply Seattle, will join the radio show next on Softy and.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.